God has truly blessed us and shown His grace upon us to be able to be born in the greatest country ever to be known on the face of the planet throughout all of history. In my opinion, God has given us, out of all the billions and billions of people that's ever lived, God allowed us to be born in America. But we'll not ever take that for granted. We could have woke up this morning in some remote part of China or some terrible part of Russia or deep in the bush of Africa. I mean, just imagine how your life could be today had it not been for God being so graciously good to us. And for the most part, not just born in America, but most of us have been born, raised, and lived our whole life in the Bible Belt of America. And I'll tell you, God's been good to us, and we bless His name. I want to have you turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. And echo what Brother Jackie mentioned. Please be praying for Brother Jimmy. He called me about 5 this morning, and just I've never heard Brother Jimmy in that tone. He sounded just awful. Been up all night long and made his way by ambulance to the hospital. And I know God hears and answers prayer, and I know Brother Jimmy would be praying for you if we asked if it was anybody else and we give this request out to pray. I promise you, Brother Jimmy and Sister Connie would be praying on your behalf. And so let's please lift them up and ask God to touch his body and mind and spirit. Boy, don't the church grounds and all the decorations and look beautiful? Appreciate all those that put in the hard work. Brother Dennis helping with the grass and all outside, and with JD helping plant some flowers, and then Miss Charlene doing all the flags and decorations inside and out. It just looks patriotic, and if you're not patriotic, you need to learn how to be. Amen. I don't know how many of you watched that debate, if you'd call it that. It was sad, but it ought to alarm every one of us. We have many, many months to go, and the world saw who was supposed to be the most powerful man in the entire world. The man who has less than 7 minutes at any moment to make a decision to pull out the nuclear briefcase and launch it. If you don't think Russia saw that and China saw that, and I'm telling you, if there's ever been a time in America, we need to pray that God would have mercy on our nation and God would help us through these next few months, and not just that, but that God would put in leadership who should be there. And God has commanded us to pray for our leaders. I'm not being political, but we need as a nation, we need some new leaders. And pray for our country. If you love America, pray for it, because she is sick and being led in a direction that is anti anything we are for, anti anything we grew up loving, and headed that way at breakneck speed. And so pray for our nation. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and if you will, let's stand to our feet. We'll give you a moment to rest your legs and stretch, and we'll reverence God's word as we read together. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 1. I'm going to be preaching on the subject this morning, 5 qualities of a good soldier. We wouldn't have an America this morning had it not been for the great men and women down through the years that have been willing to give their lives and give their service and their limbs and legs and mind and their all so that we could come and be in a service like this morning in freedom and worshiping the freedom of our choice and live in liberty. And boy, the Bible says give honor where it's due. And I'm telling you this morning, we ought to thank God for every person that's ever put a uniform on for this nation. And if you are currently in the service and you've served in one of the branches of our armed services, we greatly, greatly honor you this morning. And want to say thank you for your service and for all that you contributed to this as well. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Now, if you will, flip over just a page, maybe one page. In my Bible, it's one page, but go to chapter number 4 in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 6. Paul here is writing out of a prison cell at the end of his life, and he's wanting to impart to Timothy, young Timothy, how he should carry on the faith and how he too should be a good soldier and a soldier to the end, and not just any soldier but a good soldier. And Paul is letting him know how that he'd done his best to live the life. And he said in verse 6, he said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Thank you. You can have a seat. Appreciate you standing and reading together. By way of introduction this morning, we would all do well to remember all the soldiers who have fought, bled, lost limbs, and paid the ultimate sacrifice to ensure our freedom. I know I just said that, but it's worth repeating. I wonder how many times a week or how many times a month our months go on and add up before we even give thought to the fact of the goodness of God and the freedom and liberty we get to enjoy every day. I thank God for July the 4th. I thank God for Independence Day. I thank God for Veterans Day. I thank God for Memorial Day. I thank God for all of those days, but a day ain't enough, and just 3 or 4 days out of the year ain't enough for us who get to benefit from all the goodness and all that has been given. That's not enough for us to thank God. We ought to thank God every day of our lives for the great country that He's allowed us to live in and for the great men and women who have given what they have given as good soldiers in America. But I'm also reminded not just of those who paid the price for America and fought valiantly for America, but I'm reminded of those who have fought down through the annals of time in the Lord's army, in the army of Christ Jesus our Lord. They have too fought and suffered and bled, been tortured and burned at the stake and died on the battlefields of faith and left a legacy behind them and left a testimony behind them of those that who were willing, not for fame or not for some kind of medal, but in this life, but they lived valiantly and courageously and faithfully for the Lord Jesus and left their mark in history and in eternity for the glory of God. I'm referring to people like the martyrs. I'm referring to those And I'll read you some out of Hebrews chapter 11, and just listen to the caliber of soldiers that I'll read about. Hebrews 11, 31 said, "And what shall I say more? Shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, and they waxed valiant in the fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their deed, raised to life again, and others were, listen, tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned and were sown asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." My, what a vivid picture the writer of Hebrews give us of those great men and women of faith who fought valiantly to subdue kingdoms and mention all the different ways they were tortured and killed and left destitute and sown asunder. And then it wasn't just them, but all throughout from when the Bible was finished and completed, but looking forward from there, there have been... I wish you would read A Trail of Blood. Have you ever read that book and looked at the millions of gallons of blood of those Christians who would not recant? They would not say no. They would watch their own family burn, and they would watch their own family drown. I read of one story where there was a mother who had one child left. The father had been killed already because he wouldn't recount the faith. And they took that mother and that child, and they went out to the seashore and told that mother, "You will recant. You will recant the name Jesus, and you will curse the name of God, or we'll take and drown your daughter and drown you." And she said, "I will not recant." And so they took the young girl, the young precious little girl, and they took her out as the tide of the ocean was coming in. And they took her out farther, and they staked the mother down and tied her down to make her watch. And they took that little child to where the water was up to her neck. And that mother said, "I will not recant." And then the tides began rolling over that little girl's head. I mean, her only little daughter. And that mama would not recant because she was a good soldier. She watched her own child down. Then they took her out after that and done the same to her. And as the water rolled over her face, and she took her last gasp of breath on this earth, she awoke in heaven to a man named Jesus. And there have been story after story, time after time, person after person, soldier after soldier that have preceded us. And yet we sit in our comfort this morning, and the least we could do would be grateful. I mean, beyond grateful. And be inspired by those like these that we've read about and talked about. And I would encourage you to study biblical history and just history of Christian people and what they have went through so that we could have and hold the Word of God. So that we could have and hold, and so the faith that we get to enjoy and the faith that was delivered to us and we receive Christ, so that the faith would go on. I mean, it's amazing what men and women was willing to go through and willing to suffer through so that we could receive it. And then we make excuses because it's too hot outside and we can't come to church, and or it's too this, or I got too much of that. My goodness, look at the context. Look at the broad spectrum. Could you really say that you're a good soldier when you can't make it to church on time and you can't come to church faithfully and you can't give out a tract and you can't be a gospel witness and you can't give your tithe and you can't... Listen, just do the basics and the elementary things of being a Christian. Christian, stand that up beside these heroes and valiant men and women. I tell you, we are without excuse. We have more opportunity. We have less resistance than any have ever had to get the gospel out around the globe. And yet it seems like we're doing less than any have ever done. What an indictment on us. I didn't come to be down on you this morning. I'm speaking to all of us. We are all without excuse, but we should try. And I believe every Christian can become a good soldier. I believe every child of God should want and desire to become a better soldier and a good soldier. And we can do that by understanding the following characteristics of the good soldier that we have found in our text. Paul, again, he left a very vivid portrait of what a good soldier was. He had lived the life. He had the marks in his body to prove the life he had lived and give to the Lord Jesus and for the cause of Christ. He wasn't just one of those Christians who do the talking and spouting from the mouth. No, his lips matched his life. They were parallel. There were no contradictions. He lived what he preached, and he preached what he lived, and he was a real man of God and a good soldier for the glory of God. And so we can be good soldiers. A good soldier will have the character and the characteristics, number one, of being a follower. You can't be a good soldier unless you can follow. You say, what do you mean? I mean, that implies, number one, you have to have a relationship. If we, sadly, they are bussing in Chinese. Have y'all noticed or heard the number of Chinese, young military men, Chinese, are coming through our southern border? By the thousands and tens of thousands over the last year, they're just pouring in. Wonder why that is. But can you imagine if we take those who have their allegiance to another country, they have their love and a devotion to another country, they were raised there, they were raised to believe in their supreme leader, and yet now they're here, and we put them in our military, and we say, now go fight your own people and go fight for us. Can you imagine how that turned out? No, my friend, that don't work. You got to have a relationship. If you're going to be a good soldier, you got to have a relationship and know how to follow the one who is speaking to you. And in the Lord's army, you can't be in this army and fight. You can't be in this army and move forward. You will fail miserably trying to be something you ain't, trying to be a facade of what you're not. You have to have base number one, ground number one. You must have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're going to be a good soldier, there will be no dedication. There will be no devotion because you don't have the relationship to follow Him unless you have been saved. Listen to what the Bible says in John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Acts 16:31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. I'm saying a good soldier will be a follower, and that implies he has a relationship with somebody. Who is that somebody? That somebody is the captain of our salvation. That somebody is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And we must have a relationship with Him. Not only does it imply a relationship, but it implies rank. we're going to be a good soldier, we must learn and understand that we got to have the character and characteristic about us that we're willing to follow. And anybody that's ever been in the military, talk to Brother Jackie, talk to some of these others, Brother Warson, and some of these others that have served, they'll tell you up real quick that rank's a big deal when you come to serving. You get in the military, you go in the Marine Corps, you ain't going to go in there bossing somebody that's above you, somebody that's ranked above you. You're not going to tell them what you think about it or how you think about it. No, they start you out by shaving your head, sending you off to boot camp and deprogramming everything you ever thought you was and knew and deserved. And they treat you and train you to become a Marine and to honor and respect those in authority and rank above you. And follow orders. And if man can do that to man, surely in the kingdom of God and in the army of God, we should be able to follow. If we're going to be good soldiers, we're going to have to learn how to follow when it comes to rank and authority. Amen. Every child of God is under rank. We're under the leadership and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, under the rank and authority of the Word of God. We all are. And if we're going to be good soldiers, we're going to have to learn how to follow Him and follow His Word. You'll never be a good soldier if you can't follow and have a relationship with the Word of God. Amen. We're responsible for following Him and His will and His Word for our lives. Listen to 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. I'm saying we have a relationship. We belong to Him because He bought us with His own blood and He made us heirs and joint heirs with Christ. I mean, listen, we are the sons of God. What manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? We have a relationship, and because of that relationship, we ought to fall in rank and be willing and ready to serve and follow and take order when He calls our name and gives an order. God always has a way of working with His children and working with those who are related to Him. And then it implies rule. Not only a relationship and rank, but if we're going to follow and be a good soldier, it implies rule. To refuse to follow orders, remember, that's treason. When you refuse to do what your commanding officer has told you, that's treasonous. That's out of bounds. You're not supposed to do that, and you will be, I mean, strongly. Do you know what the penalty of treason is? That's a big deal. I mean, treason, they don't just spank you on the hand and say, all right, you dismissed, dishonorably discharged. No, you commit treason, you're going to go to jail for the rest of your life. You'll be court-martialed and even worthy of death. And so it's not a small thing when we're trying to follow God and be a good soldier of God when He gives, we don't understand the rule that He has over us and He gives us an order and we just say, nope, don't believe I'll do that. That's treasonous. After all He's done for us, after the price He paid for us, we ought to be willing to say, yes, sir, sir, yes, sir. Whatever you've said, wherever you've commanded, whatever you want, sir, yes, sir. Not going to be treasonous against you. If you're going to be a good soldier, we've got to understand we've got to be followers. Notice the call of Christ that has not changed. Matthew 16, 24. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. When you join the military, Brother Jackie, it ain't no longer about your opinion, and it ain't no longer about your agenda, but you are in there following orders and doing what those over you tell you to do. And listen, it ain't your job, or any other military man or woman in here, it ain't your job to set the order or set the rule. There's those in higher rank than you. There's those who are above you that God has sovereignly put there to set the orders, to call out the orders, to set the agenda, to call the war strategy that maybe don't understand. understand. You say, I don't think we ought to be going here or doing that. You know what? Listen, we have entered wars in our country that I disagree with. I think we should have never entered into. Looking back, there's some places, there's some countries that we should have never been involved in. And then let our military, those brave men and women, brave men at the time, come home and have their faces spat upon and have things thrown at them and disgraced. And I'm speaking of Vietnam. What a shame. It wasn't those men's fault. They went and done what they were ordered to do. And God will hold those in hierarchy. God will hold those who had leadership roles and made those calls. But it ain't our position to make the calls. It's our job to follow orders. Are you listening? I promise you, God won't never put us in a quagmire. God won't never lead us in a wrong direction or call us to a bad fight. God makes great decisions. God makes always right decisions and just decisions because He's a just, holy God. You never have to doubt when He says, follow me or go here or go there, fight here, fight them. When we refuse to live as the Lord desires, then we have crossed the line from a follower to a traitor. We must follow Him. James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so a good soldier is a follower. Number two, a good soldier is faithful. And I know y'all can do math, and I know I said I had five characteristics, and I know it's 12 o'clock, and I'm on number two. Chill out. I know how to tell time. I know. We won't get to them all. But we ain't done yet. He's faithful. A good soldier has a character about him that no matter what, he's going to be faithful to his duty. Whether he likes it or not, whether it's easy or not, whether he feels like it or not, he's going to suit up, he's going to pull his shoestrings together, put his boots on, I mean get everything together, and feel like it or not, he's going to be faithful to man his post and fight the enemy. We got too many who are laid down, too many castaways, too many who are went AWOL on the Lord and His army in the Christian faith. But a good soldier will be faithful. Faithfulness can be seen in a soldier's patience. The Bible said he endures hardness and don't quit. You're going to have some patience to be a good soldier. You're going to have to be willing to wait it out. I mean, when conditions get hard and conditions get rough and there's bullets whizzing by your head and you don't understand even where the sniper is and they're banging bullets and the devil's throwing hot irons your way and listen, it's bad and it's hard. We must not recant and run. We must stand our ground. Having done all, stand therefore. We got to stand and plant our feet and be willing to say, God, I'll be faithful if it takes my life. I'll be faithful. I'm not backing up or backing down. I'm going to stand faithful. And if it's hard, I'll endure hardness. The good soldier realizes that there will be troubles along the way, and yet they're not detoured by them. They stay faithful on their post. He understands that the pain is often part of the Christian experience. Listen to John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. But he said, listen, those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Listen, he never promised us a bed of roses. We are not on the playground. We are on a military war grounding. We are against an enemy and a foe that's insurmountable, one that's greater than we are, one that's more powerful than we are. We are fighting the world. We as believers are at world war. Does not the Bible say that one of our three enemies is the world? So according to the Word of God, we are at world war. And that's just one of the three. Do you know right now Right now, for the first time in history, in American history, Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea, three out of four of those, and soon, very soon, four out of four of those will be nuclear powers. And those four have come together and have been pushed together, sadly, by our weak leadership in our country. And they have come together and signed treaties and signed pledges together that they would join together to defeat America. That ought to get your attention. I mean, fighting Russia would be bad. Fighting China would be even worse. But fighting Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea, and they all coming against us at one time, is insurmountable. Are you hearing me? I'm saying, but the Bible said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Can I say to you, be faithful in spite of the enemy. Be faithful in spite of how many tag team together against us. Stand your ground, because God has promised us. Jesus has given us His word. Listen, I've overcome the world, and He will protect you, and we will prevail. We've already prevailed over our enemies because of Christ, Amen. The captain of our salvation. So stay faithful. Please remember that the Christian is called upon to face life with extreme patience. Listen to Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Listen, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We got to learn to have patience if we're going to be a good soldier. Them that, they a dime a dozen. Brother Ned, I've seen them. Boy, they come in and they are fluorescent and big, and you think, man, they're going to be the best family. Our church is so blessed to have that person. They so gifted and talented, and oh, man, they got deep pockets, and they can sing, and they can teach, and they can preach, and they can do anything, and they're going to help us grow. Wow, they're great. I've learned to have patience with them kind of people, because they leave as soon as they come. They go up like bottle rockets and down just as fast. I mean, in and out. You can't count on them. As soon as something comes up, no patience. Out the door they go. There's something to be said, and I thank God for those of you who have been in this church and stuck. Amen. Be faithful. Be faithful. If you don't like what's going on, change it. It's your church. Change it. I don't like how this is being run. I don't like how that ministry is being run. Change it. Don't leave. Don't tuck, tail, and run. Stand, fight, and be faithful for the glory of God. Amen. That's right. Not only is a good soldier patient, but notice his priorities. He seeks... comes his priorities. He seeks to please his commander. That's a characteristic of a good soldier. Not only is he patient, but he has priorities. Notice that a good soldier has no higher goal in life than pleasing his superior. The good soldier knows that anything which interferes with his performance in the military must be done away with. That's why he said, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. We can't afford to be entangled again with this world. We must detach. We must do away with anything that's going to hinder and prevent and slow us down as good soldiers, the Lord Jesus. It's amazing to me what this world will do, what they're willing to sacrifice to win a gold medal. They'll work from the time they're little boys and little girls, and they will eat the right diets. They will do without McDonald's. They will do, hey, listen, they'll do without chicken nuggets and Big Macs. They'll do without anything. They'll do without playing with their friends. I mean, they've got a goal they've set, and they want to be the best in the world at running pole vaulting or what. You fill in the blank. Whatever it is they want to do. And they, listen, those swimmers, even men, get this, men, Brother Jeff, will shave their stinking legs. Men runners will shave their whole body so they can be more aerodynamic. I ain't that committed. I have a hard time shaving my face, much less anything else. But they're committed. They get up early and they stay up late and they train every day, and I mean vigorously. All to win the applause of man and a gold plate around their neck. If man can do that, why under heaven couldn't we be willing to press toward the mark and please our superior who has given so much and going to give us not some gold or silver or bronze medal to wear that man has made, but I'm talking about he's going to give us crowns that last for eternity.
Amen.
Yes. The good soldier wants to please his superior and get the job done. Whatever has to be done, he's willing. Who comes first in your life this morning? Whatever or whoever comes before you and God is your God. Whether it's a job, a hobby, a dollar bill, fill in the blank, whoever's between you and God, whoever you give more time, attention, and affirmation to, and attention to, listen to me. You might not want to say it and wouldn't dare say it out loud, but that is your idol. You don't hear much about idol worship, but I promise you, we have idols everywhere. Everywhere. Pleasing Jesus ought to be our very first priority to the child of God if we're going to be good soldiers. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Then not only patience and having the right priorities, but a good soldier has the right practice. Chapter 4, verse 7 deals with that. He guards the truths of the faith. He's got the right daily practices. The good soldier takes care of the things that God has delivered to him and entrusted him with. He's determined to do a good job and refuses to do anything to bring disgrace or dishonor on his superior. Because I had this conversation with somebody this week. There was a job done, and it wasn't done up to par, and it was just not done correctly. And in love, I said, "Brother, I want to tell you something. Listen to me. I don't hold you accountable, but people will, because at the bottom line is this: the buck stops with you. If you own a company, if you run a business, if you are in authority, if you are a supervisor, the bottom line is it don't matter who's down the line. When everything falls through the cracks, you know who's left holding the bag at this church? I am. I'm responsible. I'm ultimately going to be the one who will stand before God and have to give account to God for this church. I take that very seriously, and so should you. Because you know what? I don't want to bring shame to his name. I don't want to bring a disgrace to my superior's name, to my Savior's name. After all he's done for me, listen, if my name's attached to it, his name's attached to it. If Morningstar Baptist Church name's attached to it, his name's attached to it. And God help us not to ever do have practices that bring shame and dishonor to his name.
Amen.
Amen. By the way, I know it's Sunday morning and I know what time it is, but everybody look up here at me. I don't deal with this much, but I'm going to deal with it. I ain't going to preach on it long, but I am going to preach on it. I know it's hot. I know it's very hot. I cramped so bad yesterday, I got dehydrated, and I'm telling you, a cramp caught me from my chest and all the way around my rib cage to my back, and I literally could not move for 15 minutes. Every time I'd move, that thing would grip me again. So I know it's hot. And I know, listen, I know that. But can I say, God's standards ain't changed. Amen. Some of what you ladies wear, Lord, help you, Jesus. I promise you, if Jesus Christ was to come walking in that door in the flesh this morning and stand in this place, some of you would wear something different tonight. Amen. I know that ain't popular. You see, I feel the resistance. Ooh, I feel it. It's just like, I just got to bite. I got to bite. It's a big one. As them boys like to say, it's pro fish. Now, he's a giant. Hey, I got a giant. I feel it. But, hey, listen to me. Some of you have got comfortable wearing. Because then it spreads like wildfire. She wears it. Well, she wears them skirts that are up here and throws a pair of leggings on, which are just like paint painted on your legs. It shows everything in your body. Oh, yeah. Well, they cut. No, the Bible still says if it don't cover your knee, it's nakedness.
Amen.
Don't look at me goofy. I'll take you to the Word of God and read you the verses. I'm simply saying we are representing the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ought to get our standards right. We ought to be willing to do whatever. Do you know any soldier that joins the military don't have it? Say, well, I believe I want a different outfit for the day. I believe I want to roll up my pants today. No, Marine, put them pants down, tie your boots, and get on the battlefield. You don't get an option. You follow orders from above. And I didn't set what the standards was. I didn't set what nakedness was. God did. But I believe a woman ought to be modest. I believe a man ought to be modest. I believe a man ought not be running around outdoors with a shirt off, showing his nakedness. Say amen right there. I know it's hot. Say, well, what happens when you go swimming? Put a shirt on. How would y'all feel if the preacher come in tonight? And I had a t-shirt on. And I said, well, I'm sweating, and I always do. And I'm soaking wet, and I hate being wet with a sweaty shirt on, just hugging my body. Hate it. And I said, and there I am, bare-chested in front of God and everybody. Now, be honest. How would y'all feel about that if the preacher stood up and pulled my shirt off in front of y'all? Some of y'all would have to pick your false teeth up off the floor. We'd have to call the EMS for others. Cardiac arrest. And I'm simply saying, if that's a problem and you know deep down that would be a problem for you, and it would, don't lie to yourself and say it wouldn't, then why is it okay for you? But I'm at the beach. But I'm at the pool. Everybody else is doing it. That's my whole point. When everybody else is doing it, it gets easier. And especially, let me say this, I know it's Sunday morning, but especially when you get up on that stage, when you're in leadership, if you are back at the doors greeting people, you ought to have a shirt and tie on. You ought to be dressed like it's the best. When you have any position in this church of authority or leadership, you teach a class, you sing in the choir, sing a special, get you a dress past your knees so I don't have to hear it and see it, and so our young preacher boys don't have to see everything you got or turn their head. And I mean top and bottom. Cover your top. I'm tired of seeing it myself. Some of you don't realize it, but I can't even look at you. Hello, Tokyo, y'all out there? It's a disgrace. I promise you, you wouldn't be leaning down and letting that whole low cut thing. If Jesus was standing there talking to you, boy, you'd pull it up. You know, I don't have to tell you where the lines are. You know what modesty is. And just like I wouldn't take my shirt off in front of nobody, I ain't going to do it in here. I ain't going to do it out there. I don't even let my, the other day, I come out of my bedroom late at night. It was a bug. Girl screamed bloody murder. He's a bug. And none of my older children were even home. It was Laurel. And I went running out of my room. I had jogging pants on, but I didn't throw a shirt on. I run out. This is my daughter. And she went running to my bedroom and said, "Mama, Daddy don't have a shirt on in my own house." But you know why? Because I know I got four daughters. And I've made it a point not to walk around naked in my house. I don't want my daughter seeing me naked. You say, "Oh, that's weird." I didn't tell you to live like that. I'm telling you how I live. I'm glad how old are you, Laurel? Eight. I'm glad my eight-year-old daughter thought it was the most weird thing in the world. She had to go run and tell her mama, "Mama, Daddy don't have a shirt on." Because I don't walk around naked in front of my children. Amen. And if I ain't going to do it in my own home, around my own children, in front of my children, God help you. I ain't going to go run to the beach or to nowhere. You say, "Where did this come from?" I'll tell you where it come from. I used to not have a problem, and I know this may be new to some of you, but I remember being a teenager, roofing houses for Doug Jett, and it was hot. It was like this hot, and I was up on the mill hill, up on the back line, roofing a house, and I got so hot, Brother Jackie, I took my shirt off, and I was just steady roofing. And I'll never forget, here comes this big cars come around, and there was that little pink curled hair, Miss Pearl Hughes, one of the little godliest women ever donned this part of the world. And she passed. I was already called to preach. She passed the house and saw me and stopped on the road and put it in reverse and backed up. She said, "Hey, son, I thought you was a Christian preacher. Christians don't go around naked." I said, "Yes, ma'am, Miss Pearl." And I climbed down off the ladder and I got my shirt on. And by the grace of God, God dealt with my heart. Did I get mad at that old woman and say, "She's off her rocker, she's lost her mind, she don't know what she's talking about"? No, because the Holy Ghost of God dealt with me and said, "Hey, they ought to be a higher standard." God told us to live above reproach. God told us to live with standards. God told us to live separate from the world. And if we don't do it out there, please, I mean, listen, you do what you're going to do, because I can't stop you. You're going to do what you're going to do anyway. I ain't you God. I ain't Jesus or your judge. Do what you're going to do. I'm telling you what the Bible says. I'm telling you what God expects. I'm telling you what your commander expects. He sets standards. But when it comes to in here, at least for the love of God and your preacher, come to church with your body covered.
Amen.
Ladies, one day a week, 2 days a week, a couple of hours a week ain't too much. Amen. For you to put something up that covers your knees and covers your top. Now, have I went way out of bounds, or is this just natural, normal preaching 30 years ago? What, did God change his mind?
Amen.
Of course he didn't.
That's right.
And if you're going to be a good soldier, you put on the fatigues given to you.
Right.
And you don't complain about it. I'm sure some of them over in the desert in Iraq would have loved to have had a pair of shorts on instead of them big heavy. I'm just saying, we can do better. We can do better. We can be more faithful to him because we represent him. We are ambassadors.
That's right. Amen.
That was not part of the message, but it needed to be said. Philippians 1:27, talking about being faithful. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, but being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:11, as you know how we have exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And so a good soldier is going to have the characteristics about him that he's a follower, willing to follow, and be faithful in following. And I ain't going to get to preach the rest of these, but a good soldier is going to be have the characteristic that he's familiar. Familiar with what? He's familiar with the sound of the commander's voice. He's familiar with the skill of using his weapons. He's familiar with the strategy of his enemy. A good soldier is going to know those things. He's familiar with the shadow of his friends. A good soldier is a follower. He is faithful. He's familiar. A good soldier is going to be a fighter. He's determined. He's driven. He's dedicated. And then finally, a good soldier is a finisher. He's resolved. He's going to finish. He's resolved that what he's doing is for a reason. And he's resolved there's a reward waiting him. And I promise you, listen, you take what I said this morning, and I'm sure the only thing most of you are going to leave with this morning is the last 15 minutes of what I preached. And that's a shame. Not because I preached it, because it hadn't been preached enough that it was so shocking. But he deserves 10,000 times what I've preached and more. Amen. Thank God for the privilege and the honor of being in the Lord's army. Let's be good soldiers to the end. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, help us. Oh, Lord, help us. Help me, God. I've failed you miserably so many times. God, I've represented you so, so bad. I've brought shame to you. Lord, I don't never want to do it again. God, help us to be willing to be followers of you. Oh, God, to be familiar with you. God, to be faithful to you. God, to fight and finish for you. As good soldiers, I pray you'd help us in Jesus' name, God, to take the word of God, receive it with gladness, not get bitter or hung up over something, Lord, even if we disagree. God, help us, Lord, to take the word, ponder it, meditate upon it, and let the Holy Ghost of God work it out in our hearts. And the seed's been planted, Lord, I pray, oh God, that you, the Holy Ghost, would stir it and cultivate it and help it to grow. That we'd bring glory to your name, in Christ's name.